The epistle reading comes to us from the letter of Acts, chapter 19. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They replied, No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then he said, Into what then were you baptized? They answered, Into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this gift of baptism, when you shower us with your love. God, as we come to you, as we seek your word, we ask that you open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive your word spoken to us. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 6 or 7 hours ago, there was a huge event on the other side of the Atlantic. There was a baptism service, very similar to ours, except there were 34 babies being baptized in the Sistine Chapel. It's the annual event where the Pope baptizes the babies and children of those who are associated with the Vatican. So if you would like to have your baby baptized in the Sistine Chapel, off to Vatican. But then I read the news a little bit more, and in the article it said the baptism service lasted 2.5 hours. And then I thought, you know, maybe it's better here at Kingsway Lambton. Regardless, when there are baptisms, there's always questions being asked. And Silas, if you want to go to Sunday school, you can. It's downstairs. There's always a lot of questions that are being asked, and I asked a few of them. Questions always need an answer. And in the text that we have read this morning, there are many questions that are being asked. Paul asks to the community, to believers. In fact, the Bible mentions that they were disciples. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? The answer is pretty simple. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Paul goes on and asks further, then into what were you baptized? Into what? It's strange, isn't it? It's not into who, but into what were you baptized? Into John's and baptism. There's questions and there's answers. Now, there's a lot to be discussed in these questions. Why would Paul ask this? Why would Paul ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? Now, we can even ask, maybe Paul used a different tone. For example, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? Or,
did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?
Is he simply questioning? Or is he rhetorically trying to ask, do you even know who the Holy Spirit is?
Maybe Paul saw these disciples, spent some time with them, and realized that from the words that they speak, from the acts that they do, that these weren't acts of the Holy Spirit. The troubling part in all of this is we don't know. In fact, many scholars argue both sides of the camp. Paul was simply trying to ask, how were you baptized? Some say Paul was sure that they had no Holy Spirit in them. Regardless of where the truth is, and of course we'll never know until we see God face to face, the question that comes up to us did we receive the Holy Spirit when we were baptized? Do we, as Christians, do we, as baptized people, do we reflect the Holy Spirit in what we do? If Paul, the apostle, had walked into Kingsway Lambton and spent a few weeks with us, I wonder in what tone he would have asked that question. The truth of the matter is this. When we are baptized, we follow the Matthew 28 baptism, where we're baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. We hear it every other month here at Kingsway Lambton as we celebrate many babies getting baptized. But what happens after that? What happens after a little bit of water trickle down our baby's head? And we celebrate. We take pictures. We go home. We have a party. Do we continue to look at that picture and say, oh, that was such a great baptism? Or do our lives actually reflect God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our lives? I wonder if Paul had gone back a year after, or 2 years after. In fact, Paul stayed with the community in Ephesus for 2 more years. And he went. And let's say after another 2 more years, he comes back. And he asks the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were believers? I wonder what they would have said. They would have said, Paul, you were there with us. You saw, you baptized us, and we start speaking in tongues, we start praying in tongues, we start acting in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how Paul would have reacted. Yeah, I remember. But now what? But now what? The problem is, baptism is so easy, isn't it? We come and have a session with Reverend Hugh for about 2 hours. We ask questions. We ask about what actually happens during the baptism service. We come on Sunday, and we go through the ritual. We are baptized. We are saved. And it seems that life just goes on. It seems that we have been baptized, but then nothing really changes. And I'm not here to try to put any of you in a guilt trip, because it's the same for me. I look at my life and I ask the question, does my life truly reflect the Holy Spirit? Will people outside the community look at Moses and see the Holy Spirit? Will the people who live in this neighborhood see when this white Corolla comes in the morning and doesn't actually stop at the stop sign, but kind of rolls through it? Do they see the Holy Spirit? When the parents of the Kingsway Lambton nursery, when they are busily trying to, you know, drop their kids off in nursery, and they have, you know, filled the entire parking spot, there's no place to park, and I'm there honking my horns and, can you get out quickly? I need to get in because I'm late for a meeting. will they see the Holy Spirit? The problem is, we're too busy. We're too occupied. And the thing is, it's spread all around us. No one's immune from this. But one thing that I find very, very interesting in this text that we read today is that the Holy Spirit supports the disciples into living Spirit-filled lives through baptism. They say, we don't know who the Holy Spirit is. And so Paul baptizes them again in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They start praying in tongues. They start working on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit doesn't only give them joy, but they empower them to go out. If we read the next few verses, we see that these disciples who answer the question, we don't know who the Holy Spirit is. For the next 2 years, they go around and they spread the word of God. They spread the good news of Jesus Christ. They spread about what a wonderful experience it is to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit leads them. The Holy Spirit guides them. Even when they are faced with opposition, God empowers them to go out with the message that God is love. That Jesus is alive. That for all the things that are missing in our lives, the Holy Spirit continues to fill up our emptiness. The Holy Spirit strengthens. And the thing is, that empowerment of that gift of the Holy Spirit, that joy that the Holy Spirit gives us, doesn't simply stop there in Ephesus, but it continues on today. We see in the baptism of Abigail, we see many people smiling. And the huge smile of Silas as he's getting baptized. We see the work of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not we speak in tongues, whether or not the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive in baptism are manifested in very visual and physical ways, whether or not these gifts are displayed in flashy ways with fireworks, as is detailed in the New Testament, the fact is this, that each believer is filled with tremendous spiritual power at baptism. The riches of Christ are ours. The ability to glorify God in our living, to resist temptation, to do good works, they're all for us. But brothers and sisters, it's hard, isn't it? But the fact is, through baptism, we get to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit that continues to nudge us, that continues to challenge us, to continue to say, Moses, keep going. Abigail, keep going. And in a world that is filled with trouble, and in a world that is just filled with all the things that we see in the news, and we ask ourselves the question, where is God in all of this? Where is the Holy Spirit in all of this? I wonder if our baptismal responsibility is to remind ourselves that we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And wherever we go, God goes with us. Wherever we go, Jesus goes with us. And wherever we go, the Holy Spirit continues to empower us. Baptism is no small choice. It is saying yes to God's divine love for us. You may think it's easy, but trust me, it's not. Let me give you an example. When I was growing up with my sister, and she's 3 years younger than I am, some of you have seen her, we fought a lot. She has been the topic of many sermon illustrations here at Kingsville. But we fought a lot. And after we fight, this was when we were young, my parents would say, Moses, My sister's name is Sarang. Sit down. And she and my parents will say, Sarang, tell your brother I love you. And my sister will say, I love you. I love you. And you know what? That was so hard to accept. That love that was offered to me from my sister was so hard to accept. We all think that saying yes to someone's love is so easy. It's not. The reason why it's not easy is because with saying yes, there comes a lot of responsibility. Now I can't have a grudge on my sister. Now I can't beat her up if she, you know, tries to do something. When I say yes to that love, there's a lot of responsibility that comes. When Abigail says yes to that love, when Silas says yes to that love, when all of you said yes to that love, with it came a lot of responsibilities. And it's hard. But God goes with you. Jesus goes with you. The Holy Spirit continues to cheer you on. And that's why we have hope. And that's why we as a congregation, we stand up and we say, we will support that child. Baptism, then, is a starting point. When it comes to a lot of responsibilities, it's hard. But with the power of the Holy Spirit that has manifested in the lives of those around you, look at your neighbors. We're able to carry out our baptismal responsibilities. Now, I thought I was the only one that thought this way. This is what Pope Francis said. So 34 babies, 2.5 hour service, pretty crazy. Imagine this, 34 babies crying. Pope Francis told the parents that they are tasked with passing on their Christian faith to their children, stressing that the family is where that should be. The transmission of faith happens only through the dialect of the family, the dialect of papa and mama, of grandpa and grandma. It is the dialect. If the dialect is lacking, if in the home the parents don't speak that language of love between the two of them, this transmission won't be so easy. It can't be done. Now that on face value is tough for the parents, especially parents of two young children. I don't know how we'll do it with three children. But look around you. Seriously, these are your brothers and sisters, your papas, your mamas, your grandpas, your grandmas, uncles, aunts, niece, nephew. Goes on. We are a family of Christ. And that being family of Christ doesn't just stop here. And once we go out, we're whatever. Because even when we go out there, the Holy Spirit continues to inspire us. Likening infants wailing to a concert, I think their service is probably a lot of babies were crying. Francis told the parents that if their babies start to cry during the ceremony, it's because they are not comfortable, or they're too hot, or they're too cold, or they don't feel at ease, or they're hungry. If that's the case, he said, nurse them without fear. Feed them, because this too is a language of love. Brothers and sisters, we are all in this journey together. And anyone who's gone on a long road trip knows that you fight, you bicker, you want the bigger seat, you want the elbow space. But if we truly are family together, I think we can carry out our baptismal responsibilities through God's gift manifested in our family members. God's gift of baptism is joy. It's empowerment. And we can all do this together. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, baptism is such a great gift. Sometimes we don't realize how big this gift is. Sometimes we simply think of it as a one-day event in the lives of our children. But it's a starting point where you call us to be a community together. God, in a world that needs your light, we are reminded on this Epiphany Sunday that you came as light. Continue to inspire us as baptized to be a reflector of that light. And as we, as a family of Jesus Christ, continue to reflect that light together, we know that you will be there. Your will be done. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Moses. Let us now come together as a family in prayer. The response pattern is printed at the top of the sixth page in your order of service. I'll say a series of short prayers again, end each with the phrase, "You have come, Lord Jesus," and I invite you to respond, if you are able, with the Epiphany response, "Let your light shine upon us and our world." Let us join our hearts together. Let us pray.